You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
So God's sovereign, he can do whatever he wants, and he has all this wisdom, but he's not given it until we ask. Now we're going to find out that we have to ask in faith, and there should be a persistence to this asking. But I think it's very important that we have to acknowledge the true source of wisdom. By asking, we're admitting, implicitly we're saying, you know, God, I don't really have it in me to figure this one out. Boy, that's a humble statement, isn't it? I've lived all the years of my life. I've read lots of books. I've had lots of experience, but God, I need wisdom.
By asking God for wisdom, you are admitting you can't figure things out. This takes humility and courage. But as Pastor Tom explains today, once you ask God, he is faithful and will give wisdom generously and without reproach. There will be no insults or criticism, and he'll give you exactly what you need and not what you deserve. So pray with confidence and trust that God will fulfill his promise to give you the wisdom you need to endure trials in a godly way. He will open your eyes and heart as you pray and seek him in his word. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, "The Lord gives wisdom generously, but do you want it?"
1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God." Take all of the wisdom, everything that they think they have. If you sit and listen to them and tune your ear to them and try to get ideas from their seminars and their books, you're not tuning your ears to true wisdom. God considers all of it foolishness. And we take God's perspective, right? We look at all that wisdom, all that supposed education, all of that advice, and boy, they are so willing to give it, are they not? And just tell you and tell you and tell you so boldly this is true. God looks at all of it and says, none of that is wisdom, it's foolishness. Listen to me. God knows. True wisdom requires a supernatural source, not a philosophical contemplation, not a mystical experience, a supernatural revelation. Now, some people turn to supernatural revelations. They turn to tarot cards or Ouija boards or palm readings or crystal balls, astrology. Will those yield a supernatural guidance? Often, I think they're just stealing money, right? They're hooksters. But if a supernatural answer comes through one of those forms, it's not from God. It's not his wisdom. The kingdom of darkness loves to advance its lies as wisdom if someone is foolish enough to turn there to try to get wisdom. But if one wants true wisdom to know what's really going on in his life, he has to ask the Most High God, the God and Father of Jesus. Now, I like the fact that we have to ask. I think there's some times where I didn't, but I do now, and I want you to think about that. Let him ask. That's an imperative. Why doesn't God just give the wisdom? He won't give the wisdom. It looks like he's not going to give it, or he doesn't usually give it unless we what? Ask. That's interesting, isn't it? We have to ask. So God's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, and he has all this wisdom, but he's not giving it until we ask. Now, we're going to find out that we have to ask in faith, and there should be a persistence to this asking. But I think it's very important that we have to acknowledge the true source of wisdom. By asking, we're admitting, implicitly we're saying, you know, God, I don't really have it in me to figure this one out. Boy, that's a humble statement, isn't it? I've lived all the years of my life. I've read lots of books. I've had lots of experience, but God, I need wisdom. I'm incomplete. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That's so good. That's humble. If you want wisdom from God, he demands that you and I ask. That's so good. He's the source of all the wisdom, right? Why do you go to a rich man for money? Because he's got the money. Why do you go to a baker for bread? Because he's got the bread. Why do you go to God for wisdom? Because he has all wisdom. He's got it all. Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow, I get that in Christ. I need to learn Christ better. Please notice it's not a one-time request. When it says let him ask in Greek, that's in a present tense and it's an imperative and it means that he should ask and continue on. It kind of has this repetitive, continuous action to it. Let him ask, not once, but just keep asking is the meaning. Some people want to know if they should keep asking God for something. Of course. Often we think of prayer like a quick email. Well, I sent it. One request should be enough. Then we wait for an answer. No wisdom. Prayer doesn't work. Sometimes God zaps us quickly back with wisdom. I found that to be the exception rather than the rule. Sometimes it takes time. God will work us through things before we get that wisdom. Besides, some of our prayers for wisdom are kind of half-hearted. It's more something like this. Boy, this is terrible. Lord, I need wisdom from you. Okay, now let me get on and do what I need to do. And it's not that heartfelt kind of, you know what, Lord, I really am coming to you as the source of the wisdom that I need. You need to change me because I'm not dealing with this relationship really well. I'm not dealing with this problem at work really well. And it's been here, and now I'm really coming boldly and seriously before you. It's a serious request with me. And God sometimes wait, even though we asked, it's not wholehearted asking. Would you agree? Sometimes it's asking, it's out there, but it's not wholehearted. So the Lord kind of leaves it a little bit, kind of like with a kid that asks for something, but you're not sure, does he really want that? You know? And if he keeps asking and asking as a parent, you know what? The kid really wants that. That's something he really, really wants. He's seeking after it, you see? And then God reveals that because he knows the heart. Sometimes we think of, you know, asking in prayer, just one quick prayer, it's over with. Prayer is really like ongoing communion with God. We're having a conversation with God. We're bringing back each day, Lord, I asked you for wisdom, and this happened, and I still don't know what to do. What should I do here? I read this verse here, and I talked to so-and-so. And you keep having that conversation with God so that wisdom will come to you, you see? You're working through the problem weeks and months, and as you're doing that, you're keeping record of some of the thoughts that you have. I think it's a great idea. You are learning the things that God wants you to learn. It's not just quick. You got to give me the wisdom now or else I'm just, you know, I'm going to be fizzled out. Can't talk to God like that. But I don't want to imply that asking God for wisdom is like banging on a door of someone who's completely ignoring us and does not care about us. I don't mean to say that. Look what he writes next there in verse 5. He goes on, he says, God gives to all men generously and without reproach. God gives to all men generously and without reproach. Generously and without reproach refers to the manner of God's giving. The Greek term generosity or generously refers to, this is interesting, it refers to simplicity. It's like, what do you mean? He gives simply. That means with God, there's not going to be a complication with him. His generosity is straightforward. You know, go up to a generous man, and he doesn't have 20 hoops for you to jump through, right? He's like, okay, I see you're in need, and I'm going to give. It's straightforward giving. It's simple giving. It's free giving. That's how God is. His giving is direct. It's easy flowing. It comes from his generous heart. It's wholehearted. And then he says that God gives this wisdom without reproach. Oh, I like that. That is a blessed truth. God does not heap insults on us for coming and asking him for wisdom. He gives it without reproach. He doesn't reproach us. Oh, you know, what would reproaching be? It'd be like this. Oh, there comes that foolish boy back here again. I knew sooner or later he'd end up back on my doorstep. Yep. Asking for something. That's reproach. God doesn't do that. He sees what we need, not what we deserve. That's what mercy is. When he gives what we need, not what we deserve. God is like that. Indeed, his gracious, non-reproving response makes us wonder, why did we take so long to ask and believe in him? Why? Isn't Jesus Christ our friend? Right? Isn't he our friend? Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. I wish our giving was a little bit more like God's. Sometimes our kids act foolishly, and they come to us and we say, well, it's about time. Look what a mess you made of this whole situation. You should have come and you should have asked sooner. And we reproach our children when they come to ask for wisdom. Now, again, I want to balance what I'm saying because obviously there's lots of other scriptures. This is not saying that God would never rebuke us or that we don't deserve a rebuke. Or that he always withholds a rebuke. Certainly we do deserve that if we're stubborn and we won't listen. But when we turn to him and our hearts are humble and believing, we've confessed our sin, we've said this is our need, it says then that God opens his mouth and he imparts wisdom bountifully. And he does it not to put us in our place, but to help us. Certainly we can have absolutely no doubts at all that God has enough wisdom to give us. Remember what it says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. What is there that the Ancient of Days does not know and understand? What contingency has he not anticipated? What factoid has he missed? What aspect of your life is he not aware of? People get concerned about the oil reserves every once in a while. They're going to give out. We know that. We've been told that. Even with all the fracking that's going on, they're going to give out. But God's wisdom reserves, they're bottomless. They never give out. Whatever you need, you draw on it. And he gives without reproach. It's free, brothers and sisters. It's free. Just think about this. God has the wisdom right now that you need for your life. Right now. And he's got a big, generous heart with a pipeline to get it right to you. He gives straight, free. But do you really want it? Do you really think you need it? Desperately, honestly. Later in verse 17, James will write, "Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." He's generous. That's just constantly how God is. That never changes with God. God is that way right now in his relationship to you. He's generous and wants to be generous to you right now. That's the way he was when James wrote this letter 2,000 some years ago. That's the way he is right now. He wants to be that way for you. But do you want his wisdom for life? In John 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." In other words, God is poised and ready to give. We just need to learn to ask. Now we come to the third and the final phase of all of this, and that is the granting of the wisdom itself. The promise that James is making at the end of verse 5 is so clear. It says, "And it shall be given to him." That's a promise, right? "And it shall be given to him." Now we have the contingency of faith, and we're going to get into that. But I want you to just to see the promise first. God promises to give you the kind of wisdom that will come into your heart and mind and give you understanding so you will know how to live, particularly in those hard times. He's promised it to you. We mentioned that James has so many similarities with Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. We'll hear again, because if we were to turn to James's half-brother and read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:7, Jesus talking, not James, and he says, "Ask and it will," what? "Be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be open to you." Promise, promise, promise. And those are in the present tense also. Keep asking and it shall be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. Show you really mean it. Get down on your knees. Keep track of your prayers. Be earnest. God gives it. Are you suffering and you don't know why, or you just don't know what to do in the meantime? Are you being opposed and you need to know what to do? Are you at a crossroads and there's all kinds of pressure on you and you're trying to decide what would be the wisest course of action to take? Are you confused? Then believe this promise. Listen, brothers and sisters, let me just talk to you here. We call ourselves believers, true? We call ourselves believers. Believing is one of the hardest things to do sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we ask people, are you sure you're a believer? And I say, yes, well, then why aren't you believing? Why aren't you believing the promise? That's a challenge to our hearts and our minds. Why are we not confident this is true? Wouldn't that transform the way we pray? Now, just so you don't give up asking, please notice this. Don't fall asleep on me. It does not say in this verse, when God will give the wisdom. Did you notice that? Please take another look at it. See if you see a when in there. Do you see a when in there anywhere? Because I didn't. It doesn't say by January 1st. It doesn't say within a year. You know, sometimes businesses are like that. "We'll get this to you in 7 days. Ain't got that in here. That's not part of the promise. Now, there might be an implication that it's going to come sooner rather than later. After all, it's a promise and you need to depend on it, right? I think the point would be that you'll get the wisdom when you need it. God has an angelic tracking system to know where the package is. It's going to be delivered on time. Demons may fight against it. Spiritual warfare going on up there where you cannot see. But it's going to arrive when you need it, when you really need it. God factors all of that into his sovereignty. He makes you search for it more. He brings more pain upon us for a period of time, but he's got it all measured. He can be trusted. And that UPS truck from heaven will arrive on time. How will God give the wisdom to you exactly? That's probably the last question you're thinking. How? How? How does it come? Well, again, it doesn't say. Doesn't say how, does it? Doesn't say when, doesn't say how. There are other portions of God's word that do tell us how. Proverbs 2:6, we read in our scripture reading. For the Lord gives wisdom, okay, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth. We're going to get wisdom from God's mouth. Where do I hear God's mouth talking? All scripture is God-breathed. That means it's from the breath of God. It's from his mouth. These are words that came out of the very mouth of God. Wisdom right here. Lots of wisdom. Tons of wisdom for life. Counterintuitive wisdom, but that's because we're all backwards. Blessed are the rich and famous. Nope, Bible says blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who party and laugh. Nope. Blessed are those who mourn. Huh? We have to rethink everything to gain God's wisdom, yes? The renewing of the mind, Romans 12, right? Let your mind be renewed. All scripture is God-breathed. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 for those of you taking notes. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Human speaking, God speaking through the human. Whenever anyone says the Bible is not God's book because it was written by humans, they completely misunderstand the doctrine of inspiration. By the way, we never have to wonder if something is God's will when God's scriptures directly teach on the subject. When someone says they're going to pray about something to see if it's God's will, and it's already written in the Bible, they're not very genuine at all. They're still in rebellion. They don't want to acknowledge the plain teaching of scripture. Please don't do that. Don't act all spiritual. Well, I'm going to pray what God's will is. God's will is for you to forgive them. God's will is for you to give. God's will is for you to be kind. God's will is for you to serve. These are all things that are stated, right? That's where we get the wisdom from God's word. And the more we read scripture, the more God works on our mind. Yes, it's mysterious, but he works on our mind. He works on our understanding. He opens even more and more the eyes of a believer. Our eyes are already open because we've come to salvation, but there's more to see. And some of the old verses we read, we're like, Oh, I just got a new insight from this verse, and we're all excited, and we go and interrupt someone if you're like me, and we want to tell them what we learned. Old story, brand new insight. And you're like, wow, who did that? Holy Spirit. Unless you had bad interpretation from the scripture, then it wasn't the Holy Spirit. You understand? Okay, you got to interpret scripture properly. Psalm 119, 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That's why we exposit this scripture and expose it and unfold it. It's because it brings wisdom. To gain that understanding, God must illuminate the minds of believers. It says in 2 Timothy 2:8, when Paul was instructing Timothy and he was a mature believer, he said to him, consider what I say, in other words, what he was writing in the letter, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. God will take what I wrote here as scripture, Timothy, and as you ponder it and consider it, you will understand more and more how to apply that in varying circumstances of life. You will increase in wisdom, Timothy. Paul's saying, I wrote this to you. It's inspired. It's revelation, but you have to consider it. You have to ponder it. Psalm 119 again, verse 18 this time. Open my eyes, David prayed, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. He's already saved. He's already regenerate. His eyes are already open, but he's reading the law and he wants to see more. What does this mean? This means if you want wisdom, you have to read the word of God thoughtfully. Listen, the Bible's not meant for entertainment. You got all these movies out there, you know? They mess it all up anyway, right? Sure, it's entertaining. You look at all this stuff, but they get it all wrong. The Bible is written not to entertain us. Some of it is entertaining. Some of it's exciting. Some of it's very interesting. Some of it jumps off the page. Some of it is like, whoa, a whole list of how to sacrifice turtle doves or something like this. I don't know how to get into that. Some of it's like that too, but it's all written for instruction, for wisdom. You have to ponder it and think about it. That's the point. And you have to yield your will to God. The Bible's not a novel to be zipped through. It's a heavenly treasure to be studied for life. Often we do not know all of God's word as we wish we did, yet we still need wisdom. When a problem comes, we need to make a decision. Isn't this exactly what Solomon did? Isn't Solomon like number one, like door number one open? There's Solomon. Needed wisdom, right? You know what his trial was? He was becoming king. Nice trial, huh? He was becoming king. He said, that's a trial. Because David, this very wise father that I have, he ruled over this whole kingdom, and he's got all these people following him, and he's got this vast kingdom. And now, boom, he dies, and I take it over. And Solomon's like, I don't know how to do this. And he prayed, God, give me wisdom. And it was a genuine prayer, and God gave him wisdom. How did God give him wisdom? Through the scriptures, but also God gave him a perceiving mind and heart to understand the law of God. And it increased and increased and increased so that he could make right decisions. The whole cutting of the baby in half thing is the famous one, right? Whose mother does this belong? You're like, the kid's mine, the kid's mine. All right, let's cut the baby in half and find out. And then the real mother says, no, don't cut him in half. And Solomon rewards the baby to the real mother. Says to the other, you were lying. There's ways to find out from those that claim the truth. There's ways to find out. That's how wisdom came to him. God imparted the discerning mind to him with the scripture. Have you ever prayed for understanding and you're going along reading scripture and just something jumps off the page at you? You ever had that? And you're like, that's what I was praying for. That's what I was trying to understand. Sometimes I've experienced something and I'm trying to figure out what that is, and I'm going through, I'm reading the Proverbs. I'm like, that's it. That was the lesson. Should have memorized that a long time ago. Would have saved me a lot of problems. You're like, wow, there it is. It's all in there already. Sometimes we think we know the word of God. And we're like, whoa, that's in there? Or all of a sudden you're guided to the right person. You're like, you bump into someone and say, hey, what's troubling? And you start talking. And they have the right words to say to you, right? So lift up your eyes. Thank you, God. That's what I needed to hear. And maybe God will speak and say something to you in an unexpected time and place. I often find it's like, when I was like complaining with God, I'm like, God, I need the wisdom. God, I need the wisdom. God, I need the wisdom. I'm not getting any wisdom, Lord. Forget this. And I go on my way. After I've written God off and I don't want to listen anymore, all of a sudden wisdom comes out of nowhere, sneaks up on me, and there it is. And I'm like, oops. Sorry, God. You were just waiting for me to show my unbelief before you answered. That's our Heavenly Father. But boy, is He good. Elders are given to impart wisdom to a congregation too. Do you know that? We're given to study the scriptures and impart the right path to walk on, how to teach you what to do. And elders, their whole purpose is to teach and produce wisdom and understanding in the congregation. It is always Satan's strategy to divide a church by attacking the elders. It always happens that way. Always. You can't have any unity in a local church except around the elders. It's the only way to have unity in the church. Satan knows that, and that's why he attacks elders. And he does it through unsubstantiated claims. And then they're discredited, and then people don't listen to them, and then they don't get any wisdom for themselves. You see how that works? The whole purpose of the elders, imperfect as they are, is to take the book and to teach the heart wisdom. That's why it says in Scripture, you younger men, be subject to your elders. There's nothing unclear about that. That's why it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Because God wants to bring you wisdom through their teaching as well. That's why He gifts them that way. Seek wisdom. Buy it up. Treasure it in your heart.
Today on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom gave great encouragement to believers going through difficult circumstances. He encouraged you to pray and seek God earnestly. Ask Him for the wisdom you need. God is a generous God who delights to answer your prayers for wisdom in the midst of trials. He gives without conditions or demands. When you come humbly and expectantly, God will give you what you need to get through your trials. Discover Hope is a listener-supported ministry, and we'd like to offer you the opportunity to be a part of sharing the gospel message. Would you join us in praying for our listeners? Pray that the love and grace of Jesus will be evident in each new broadcast, and that many would come to know the hope of salvation. Thanks for praying. If you feel led to contribute financially to this ministry as well, you can do so by visiting hopebible.org and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page. We appreciate every amount given and use it to continue producing the messages of Pastor Tom Leake that you hear on Discover Hope. Faith, assurance of things hoped for, and conviction of what you can't see, are vital to the Christian life. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will discuss the importance of faith, particularly when you pray. Faith is a daring confidence in God, and when you pray with that confidence instead of doubt, you will have a powerful prayer life. Your faith will grow. Faith is the only proper response to a good and generous God. There is much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll tune in next time. If you'd like to listen again to today's teaching or share it with friends and family, you'll find it online at hopebible.org. Thanks for joining us on Discover Hope.